Wear Your Heart on My Sleeve, Darling, written by Rizabeth and read by Sunkitten Shash, an Only Friends Boston Nick fic, rated teen. Summary. Boston builds a life in New York from pieces of past, present, and future. The past few years have been good to Boston. Not great, but certainly better than the one that came before them, and he'll take his victories where he can get them. New York is big, and while the same can be said of Bangkok, New York comes with an anonymity Boston has never experienced before anywhere. He'd felt it as soon as he had stepped out of JFK Airport into the foreign air that had filled his lungs with a smog-tinged coldness, completely void of anything familiar. It had been liberating. Exhilarating. It still is. It's not quite the forgiveness some part of him still longs for, but it's close enough. It allows his lungs to actually expand inside of his rib cage, with the deep inhales he can't get enough of once he gets started. Here, he has no reputation, no notoriety attached to his name. He is a blank slate, and he allows the city to write its new stories all over him, to fill his mouth with foreign words, to flood his veins with places he has never seen before. This new life is his shallow boat, and Camelot is finally far behind. He has been back home briefly a couple of times since, mostly out of half-reluctant courtesy towards his father. Each time had made him feel smaller, almost like having traveled back in time to when he had hated and been hated. Loved, too, but he tries not to think about that. During his first visit, his dad had asked after Ray, Mew, the lot of them, but dropped the subject with uncharacteristic tact after an awkward silence that Boston hadn't known how to break. "Ah, who cares?" the old man had said, refilling both of their glasses with whiskey. "You're a new man now." That night, he had sat alone in his old room, phone in hand and Ray's number pulled up onto the screen, until he had finally hit the green button. The phone had rang and rang, until it had gone into voicemail. It didn't really mean anything. For all he knew, Ray could have been asleep, out of country on a vacation, or getting fucked by his boyfriend. It hadn't felt like a sign, but in that moment it had felt just enough like a final full stop at the end of a too long sentence. He had blocked the number afterwards, telling himself it was almost as good as deleting it. Not only is New York big, but it is also simple against all expectations. All Boston has to do is live and breathe photography, just like he had always wanted. For the first time in his life, he's acing all of his classes and completing assignments well before deadline. The photos he submits as his coursework are an example of his broadening palette, all of his models fully clothed, for one. The best pictures he takes are still the ones that come with a name. Matt, Kuhn, Christopher, Roberto, Brandon, Jones. They are beautiful in his bed, just like they are beautiful coming out of the photographic developer in his makeshift second bedroom turned darkroom, a violation of his rental contract that would have his landlord losing his mind should he ever find out. Beautiful enough for Boston to have them model for him over and over again, sometimes in the apartment, sometimes out in the world. There is only one hard line he draws and holds on to, the only commandment he vows to never break again. He never sleeps with any of them more than once. Once, and after that, it's nothing but platonic professionalism. Some of them are happy with Izmach, even becoming something akin to friends. Some aren't as accommodating, but that's okay. It's a big city. They won't run into each other again. Before he knows it, spring rolls around again, until it's suddenly almost ready to tip over into another sweltering summer. For most, it might mean a lightening atmosphere, afternoon strolls in the park, stopping briefly to admire the flowers. For Boston, it means feverishly preparing for the end-of-the-year two-week exhibition he has been awarded as the top student of his class. Most of the photos he chooses to hang up in the gallery are part of his school portfolio. Stylish young men, vulnerable in their masculinity, details of architecture he has spent countless hours searching for all over the city, portraits of elderly people he's come across by accident during his hunts, a subject Boston had never thought would interest him. It's the project he's most proud of to date. It's a contrasting yet balanced mix, and Boston knows exactly which picture he should choose as the centerpiece, the one hanging by itself on the back wall, a huge, brightly colored photo of an old lady crossing the Manhattan on a red light, her head held high, unbothered like royalty. He should. He really fucking should. God fucking damn it. He feels like an idiot when he's done putting up the small black-and-white photo in its black frame that doesn't match any of the rest of the room. "I hope you're happy now," he hisses at the picture, with venom that he can't actually bring himself to feel. The exhibition is a success, which is a relative term in New York, but then again, where isn't it? It gets reviewed positively by a couple of local art and photography publications, and one Instagram artist posts enthusiastically enough about it on their account to cause a small influx of people during the weekend. By the end of the fortnight, Boston has sold 28 original photos, 8 of them to galleries of varying sizes. He feels dizzy at the thought. The one picture that isn't for sale, despite numerous inquiries, hangs by its lonesome on one of the pristine white walls. It comes as no surprise at all when Boston recognizes familiar ink-black curls in front of it during the final night, less than an hour before closing time. Feeling curiously light and empty, he walks over until they're standing side by side, looking together at a glimpse of their shared past. Boston startles, but doesn't turn to look, when he feels Nick slip a hand into his. When he gives his fingers a small squeeze, Boston squeezes back. "It's still my favorite," he confesses, his vision blurring. "You're still my favorite." Nick lets out a small sound, something between a soft laugh and a sniff, quiet enough to go unnoticed by everyone else in the room. "Thank you," he says, the familiarity of his voice burning bright inside of Boston. "It's my favorite, too." Author's endnotes include: unpopular opinion, but I didn't think the ending of Only Friends was the worst possible for them, because I think there is so much potential for different post-canon scenarios of growth and reunion. They're young. They're in love. Sometimes it is at first a case of wrong time, wrong place, wrong circumstances, wrong version of both me and you, but all of those can change. It's up to us to imagine how. Readers and notes. I really like that perspective. Personally hated the ending of Only Friends, but I really can see a future where it's like, oh, didn't work out for them at this time, but they can, you know, come back again together later. And I really like imagining that for them. I really liked this story. It's like, it's got that twinge of melancholy, the vulnerable Boston that I go for, and then the sort of like open, gentle ending with them, like, finding each other again. It's really nice. But yeah, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed my reading, leave comments or kudos for me on the AO3 page, and if you liked the original fic, go leave some love for the author as well. But yeah, thanks for listening.